if you've got just tight margins going into Amazon, how the heck are you going to go wholesale or into the retail marketplace? It just won't survive. Hey everyone, this is Norm Farrar, aka the Beard Guy here, and welcome to another Lunch with Norm, the Amazon and e-commerce podcast. Today we're going to be discussing power warranty marketing on steroids. What is power warranty marketing? What are the two biggest keys to make power warranty marketing work? And what is the ultimate product type to use with this strategy? Welcome to another Lunch with Norm, the e-commerce and Amazon FBA podcast. Okay, like I said, today we're going to be discussing power warranty marketing on steroids. Our guest is a seasoned e-commerce expert with nearly three decades of experience in the digital marketplace. He leverages his power warranty marketing technique to generate fierce brand loyalty, develop solid and responsive email lists, and he's the host of Brand Fortress HQ podcast. We'll be talking to a first-time guest, Michael Kaufman, shortly. But first, a word from our sponsor. Facing cash flow challenges with your e-commerce business? Discover Viably, your ultimate financial ally. From real-time sales data integrations to immediate funding access, Viably is here to support you. Plan your growth with their free tool for online sellers and engage with specialists whenever you need. Extend your cash flow with Viably. So if you have any questions or comments, just put them over in the comments section. Here we go again. And sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, and welcome Michael. Here we go again.
How you doing, Norm?
I don't know. Just saying that those two sentences, two more windows popped up.
we'll make it work as best we can, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so Michael, why don't you tell us a little bit more about what you do?
So, in terms of my background,
and what you're doing right now.
Okay. So yeah. So currently, I've got an Amazon brand that we've been running for about 9 years. We do mid seven figures, looking to push eight figures this year. Looking to secure some retail space on the shelves for our products this year, which would be a really, really unique thing for us. That'll be new. So, we're looking forward to that. Just started up Brand Fortress HQ with a couple of partners and the podcast to go along with it. So it's been a busy year. Just arrived in Puerto Rico about 6 weeks ago. So I'm enjoying that as well. But that's kind of life for me right now. Amazon business and living it up in Puerto Rico. So
So you've actually moved there.
I did. So yeah. So I was at the BDSS conference in June and everybody was talking about the tax benefits. And I decided, why not make the move? We're essentially empty nesters at this point. We weren't quite, but now we are. It's just my wife and I down here. So it's working out pretty well. The weather's been amazing and the people are terrific. So,
oh, nice. Okay. So what I am going, let me just see here. This is driving me crazy. I'm going to just try to log into this bloody form and see if that'll stop everything from happening. Nope. It's not even allowing me to log in. It's got to be a bug. Okay. Now, I've never heard of power warranty marketing. What is it?
So essentially, I would say it's differentiating your products with an extreme but believable warranty or a guarantee, depending on the type of product that you sell. And then just making sure that you stand behind that warranty in such a superhero style that your customers will do nearly anything for and buy nearly anything from your brand. And it turns out, for us, I mean, we kind of fell into it, or I kind of fell into it, I guess, but it's turned out to be some of the cheapest and most efficient marketing that I think you'll ever do, because it makes for very easy email list building. We actually collect physical addresses from our customers in fairly large numbers. We've got a 35,000, strong email list. Having the physical addresses gives us the option of actually using snail mail marketing, which a lot of people shy away from these days, but it's becoming a much more effective strategy because most people aren't using it. We have really extremely good review profiles on Amazon for all of our products, generally 5 stars, thousands of reviews, and it just makes that process much easier. The reviews are much stronger. We have a lot of, you know, images, videos, multiple paragraphs, you know, it's just glowing reviews. So extreme brand loyalty, much easier product launches and profitable product launches. I think that's one of the big ones is that, you know, most people in the Amazon space assume that if you launch a product on Amazon, the only way to do it is to essentially lose money on the launch with, you know, extreme, you know, giveaways and discounts and that sort of thing. We don't do that. You know, every launch is a profitable launch, and it's a much easier process for us than I think for most. So it just works out really, really effectively for us. And I think a lot more sellers could make use of it than will, because most of them are afraid of it, I guess.
Okay. So I'm interesting. Right now, I feel like going into the fetal position. But power warranty marketing, does that have anything to do with your new product launches and becoming profitable?
Well, I would say it does, but mainly just in the sense of giving us an easy way to build our email list. So, okay. I mean, it does help to some degree because as a brand, we have a very strong review profile and a very strong brand profile. So, of course, that does make launches a little bit easier, but most of it comes from the list. You know, we are able to utilize our list in a very, I guess, our product launch strategy is very organic because with so many people on that list that are very brand loyal, you know, we essentially start the process with them. So if there's a new product that we think that our target, you know, avatar would be interested in, the first thing we're going to do is connect with our email list and find out if we're right. And then the next thing we're going to do, if we are right, is find out from them, what are the actual features that they would like? What are the things they would like us to improve on, you know, in that product vertical? You know, if they could have everything they wanted, you know, even features that they don't think are possible, but they wish were possible, what would they be? So that we have an idea of how are we going to differentiate the product besides the warranty, because every product that we release with that same, you know, really extreme warranty. And in our case, it's actually an unlimited free replacement lifetime warranty. So it is pretty extreme. But every product we release is going to be under that same warranty structure. The question is, what are the other ways that we're going to differentiate the product? What are the features that are going to change? And our customers tell us what those are. And then our customers become the beta testers. They're going to give us their feedback. We're going to give that feedback back to our list and say, hey, this is what the beta testers said. These are the changes that we're going to make as a result of that. And we can just kind of walk through that process so that by the time we get to a product launch, you know, our list is very vested in that product. They basically feel like it's their product, like they built it, they designed it. And so when it comes to a product launch, we can offer like a 15% discount off of, you know, the price that we want to sell at, like not just our launch price, which, you know, maybe is slightly lower, but about 15% off of what we expect our retail price to be. That's the discount offer. So we're still profitable on that launch, and we can rank that way. We can maintain some rank that way. So it's just a much more organic launch process that is much more profitable than most.
I'm curious, how big is your list?
So we have about 35,000 people on our list. Currently, we're getting about a 30% registration rate, you know, from sales to warranty registrations and email subscriptions. And we get about a 50% open rate on our emails.
Okay. And sorry about this. These pages, since we've been talking about 12 pages have popped up. That's it. Only 12 pages. So let's talk about the biggest factors. What are the two biggest factors or key factors in making your warranty strategy work?
Yeah. Actually, I think I would say it's probably three keys. But the first two are, one, I've already mentioned it, and that is, you know, having an extreme but believable warranty or guarantee. Again, as I mentioned before, you know, warranty versus guarantee, you know, you can offer either one, depends on the type of product, but make it extreme and also believable. Those two things I think are key. I think also just say yes. Now, that's actually a phrase that I heard from Jordan West on the Secrets to Scaling podcast interview that I did recently. We were talking about this very thing, and I was basically discussing how, you know, we essentially approve every single warranty claim that comes through. It's about a 95% approval rate. And as I was discussing that, Jordan basically said, yeah, we kind of took that same philosophy in our business, which was essentially just say yes. The customer might not actually always be right. And in fact, they probably aren't always right. But let's pretend that they are and just say yes all the time. And that's essentially been our strategy. And then I would say that the third key is making sure that you're selling at a premium price point so that you have better margins, because you do have to accommodate those warranty replacements. And realistically speaking, if you're going to offer an extreme warranty, a customer would expect that they're going to pay a premium price for that. And we generally sell at about 5x what most other products in our category are selling at. So,
yeah, I've heard, I was talking to somebody the other day, I think it was last week, Kelsey, back me up on this. They came on and they were saying to sell on Amazon right now, you have to make 7x from your landed cost. What do you think about that?
I would say, especially for us, I would say that's probably fairly accurate. We might not be sitting at quite a 7x, but I think if you're not sitting at roughly 5x, you know, or 6x, I think probably you are putting yourself in a position, because, you know, PPC costs have gone sky high, fulfillment costs, you know, storage costs with Amazon now on both ends. You know, if you're low on inventory or if you're high on inventory. So, you know, costs are about as high as we've seen them. And I think that's not going to change anytime soon. So if you're not preparing for the fact that your costs are going to continue to increase, then I think that you're not preparing to succeed. So I don't think that number is probably all that far off.
And one of the other things too is, and you mentioned this at the very beginning, you're exploring retail. And if you've got just tight margins going into Amazon, how the heck are you going to go wholesale or into the retail marketplace? It just won't survive. So going in with that higher perceived value will allow you to establish at least a wholesale price to sell to retailers.
Right. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. If you don't have that margin, you're just putting yourself in a hole. It's hard to dig out of that hole because so many things can happen. So many roadblocks come up, so many, you know, issues arise. And if your margins are that thin, the chances that one of those blips is going to put you off the map is pretty strong. So I just don't think it's a good strategy.
All right. Rapid shoot. What are the three again? 1, 2, and 3.
Sure. Extreme but believable warranty, just say yes, and premium pricing.
Very good. When you're providing an extreme warranty, and let's say you're doing it for life or just something that's believable. And I've got clients like this too, that have really great products and they have lifetime warranty. And these are in the kitchen utensil area. How do you calculate what you think your returns will be to replace these products?
I would say that, first of all, it can be a little difficult. I think that to some degree, we had the benefit of falling into this. I keep saying we, but essentially at the time it was me that fell into it. But, you know, when I first started my Amazon business, I wanted a way to differentiate, but because I didn't have a whole lot of capital to invest, nor could I afford to lose, I didn't really have a lot of time and money to invest in research and development or changing product features and paying for new molds and all of that sort of thing. So I really had to use whatever I could find from a manufacturer that they were already producing. So I found the best version of the product that I could find from any manufacturer out there. And then the decision was, okay, I have what I think is the best current product available. I can't really differentiate it in any other way, you know, in terms of a feature set that's going to be significant. What else could I do? Lifetime warranty became the simplest way to do it because nobody else in the category was really offering much of a warranty. It ended up being unlimited free replacement by default, only because I was kind of using this just say yes strategy. I mean, I needed 5-star reviews. I couldn't afford negative reviews because I needed the credibility. And so I really didn't have a choice but to just say yes. And so in that sense, it was kind of a make it or break it. You know, either it was going to work or it wasn't. And fortunately, it did. Now, what I would say is there's a few things that come into play there. You know, the type of product matters. You know, the category that you're selling in matters. And we can kind of get into what types of products are not a good fit versus those that maybe are a good fit. I think that far more products are a good fit than people think. And I would say that before I get into that, maybe it would be useful to get in some numbers as far as how it works for us. So our products, again, unlimited free replacement, and it truly is that. Last year, I did the calculation on our numbers, and our warranty claim replacements ended up being about 3% of revenue. And we're making a significant adjustment to one of our products, in fact, all variations of that product, which actually ends up being quite a few products. But we're making that product a more modular style so that we can actually replace parts versus replacing the entire unit. And doing that, the cost estimation, it puts it at about 1.75% of revenue next year is what our warranty claims will be. Now, if you think about that, you know, like do some calculations of what you spend on marketing, right? PPC advertising, social media marketing, whatever types of marketing that you're doing. Do a calculation on what the percent of revenue is that you're spending on marketing. I guarantee you it's way more than that. And this is the best marketing that you're ever going to find because, you know, what you result in terms of your review profiles and your brand loyalty and the opportunity for back-end selling to customers who are very loyal to your brand and are willing to purchase those products, the options for, you know, moving into the retail space because your review profile is so good. I think that this really is one of the best marketing, you know, mechanisms that you can use. And so then stepping back and saying, how do I do it? What type of products would work and what kind of a warranty would work really comes back to one, durability. You know, can you build in a fair amount of durability into the product or can't you? You know, so if it's electronics, you know, a lot of that can be difficult in that space. You know, there's a lot of things that can go wrong. But if the product is a little bit simpler, there's fewer parts, you can build some durability in there, then you can absolutely reduce those costs. Can you build it in a modular way so that those parts that are going to break, can you replace just the part? Because right now, fulfillment is actually the most expensive part of our warranty claims process. It's not the product itself. It's how much it costs us to ship it to somebody. So if we can ship them small parts versus shipping out an entire unit, that saves a ton on fulfillment. You know, so those are some of the things that I think, you know, play a role. The other thing is, what is the differentiation between the perception of product use and actual product use? So I'll give you an example, and this is a prime example, but there's a lot of other categories that maybe for different reasons, but would fall into the same, you know, use case, let's say, in terms of that mismatch of perception versus reality. Take fitness products. If you sold elastic bands for fitness, everybody who's coming to you to buy that product believes that they are going to use that product every day or every other day or every third day for years to come, right? Like they just made their New Year's resolution. They're going to get fit. They're going to use this product every day. And what happens 2 weeks later? For most people, it's in the closet and they never pull it out again until it's time for the yard sale where they're going to sell it to somebody else who thinks the same thing, right?
Right.
So if you offer this kind of a warranty on a product like that, the perception from the customer's perspective at the point of sale is, I'm going to use this product regularly for years. And so therefore, a 10-year warranty or a 5-year warranty or a lifetime warranty or whatever it is going to be extremely valuable to me because I know elastic bands are not going to last forever. They're going to break down. So I'm going to take advantage of this warranty numerous times, and therefore I'm going to get my money back. The reality is very few people are going to do that. And so therefore the expense to you is very low, which means every single person that you do have come to you with a claim, you can treat them like a king And that's really the way that it works for us. It's not exactly the same reason, but it works in much the same way. A lot of people who buy products to clean their pools, we sell pool cleaning tools. You know, a lot of people who buy those products assume that they're going to own that pool for many, many years. But what oftentimes happens is they end up getting a new job or something happens to their, you know, income or whatever. They end up having to sell the house. And more often than not, they move into a new home that doesn't have a pool. And so therefore, the tools don't go with them. They don't take advantage of that lifetime warranty. There's a lot of other reasons why people don't take advantage of them. Some of them just simply because they don't actually believe we're going to stand behind it, you know, if they're new to brand. But ultimately, far fewer people are going to take advantage of that warranty than you think. And so the cost to you is going to be much less than you think it's actually going to be.
Yeah, I've heard talking about warranties that people think the worst case scenario, that everybody's going to try to game the system. Yep. And that's not the case. You're going to have those people that know the system, but they're going to be just, they won't be the majority. So, and I do have a question about this. What happens if you have something like, for example, beauty products? So you have this beauty product that goes out there and you put this warranty on the beauty product. The warranty is, you know, just whatever that would be. And then the person decides that, okay, I'm going to claim the warranty. I want more soap or beauty products, whatever that is. Sure. And they continually do this. Do you continue to say yes?
Yeah. So essentially the way, a couple of things that I would say to that, first of all, I probably should touch on going back to something that I mentioned briefly earlier, which is warranty versus guarantee. So, you know, the wording matters. And I think in general, if your product is a durable good, then you should probably call it a warranty. And if your product is not a durable good, like it's a consumable or something like that, then I think you should call it a guarantee. I think that most customers, that wording will resonate better, you know, in terms of the differentiation of those two types of products. So let's take your beauty product, you know, it's a cosmetic or, you know, whatever it is, probably a guarantee makes sense. And so also going back to the extreme but believable, I would say our warranty is not believable, except that we have a massively good review profile at this point, which makes it credible. If you're starting out and this is a brand new product that doesn't have that, or you're a brand new brand that doesn't have that, then that's where extreme but believable comes into play. So that it's like, you know, if everybody else is offering a 1 year, maybe you're offering a 4 year, right? So it's extreme. It's considerably more than everybody else, but it has a time limit. So it's believable. It's also calculatable, right? Like if somebody looks at that, they go, okay, well, this one's a 1 year, this one's a 4 year. I can calculate in my mind what a 4 year warranty looks like if I can estimate how long I think, you know, the product might last or whatever. So I think that's what makes it more believable. So getting back to your beauty, you know, product, let's say, you know, cosmetic. So it's probably going to be a guarantee. Mm-hmm. So maybe nobody else in your category offers a guarantee. Maybe they do. Maybe it's, you know, 30 days, right? Essentially everything on Amazon has a 30 day guarantee because you can return it for a refund, right? So maybe you say, hey, we guarantee it for a year. So again, it's extreme, but believable. So, but they only have a year, you know, to take advantage of it. So that's one way that you can limit that a little bit, right? They can't just keep doing it forever. The other way that we limit it with ours is that I would recommend that anytime you run a warranty or a guarantee, I would have an escape hatch, right? Now on a guarantee, it's almost a built-in escape hatch in a sense, because guarantees oftentimes that what the perception in the customer's mind is refund. Now, of course, replacement works also, right? So it could be replacement or refund under that. Same thing under warranty. So our warranty is 100% unconditional lifetime free replacement or 100% refund. So that protects us in the sense that if a customer keeps coming back to us and asking for replacements, at some point, we can recognize this customer is clearly abusing the system. Mm-hmm. And so we just refund the original order. Once we've refunded that order, we no longer have any responsibility to that customer because technically they never bought anything from us. They haven't paid us anything. So that's our escape hatch. Now, on that customer, we will still have lost money, but we'll have lost less money than if we just continue to let them, you know, request replacements. And again, the number of people that try to take advantage of us is actually very low. You would think that with the way that we run our system, number one, that it's unlimited pre-replacement, but also it's an automated system. So we decided long ago that because we're going to approve virtually every claim, it doesn't make any sense for us to have a human being involved in that process. Like, we're just rubber stamping it anyways. Why would we do that? So we automated that a long time ago with chatbots. We've since moved on to a backend system that we programmed from scratch, but essentially it's a 90-second claim process. Like, the customer comes in, they put in their email address, they put in their Amazon order ID, shows them what products they ordered, they choose the one that they want the replacement of. If there's parts, they choose a part. If they need the whole unit, they choose the whole unit. And at that point, it's done. It, you know, it's approved 95% of the time. It just approves. And it goes straight into MCF fulfillment or 3PL fulfillment, and it goes to them. We never see it. The only time that we see it is if the system recognizes that there's something in here that looks like it might be abuse. Too many replacements in too short of a period of time, too many total replacements over the lifetime that they've been with us, you know, a number of different, you know, catches that we have in the system. And in that case, then it goes to a customer service rep so that they can investigate the issue, determine what's up. If they think that they're abusing, then we just simply refund the order and we say, hey, you know, I guess we're good. We're terminating the relationship. You know, you can move on. You've received 4 free units from us, right? It's kind of difficult. You know, people sometimes get ticked off, but reasonably speaking, what are they going to say? I mean, they've received multiple free units from us. They've never paid us a dime at this point. Now, it's kind of hard for them to really complain, you know, to too large of an extent. And it's a very, very small percentage that actually do that.
So, and this is another concern I would have. So let's take that example where there's 4 different units. And are these 4 different units returned? Or do they say, oh, I don't want to be bothered with a return. Just send me a new one. Like soap, for example, for the guarantee. And we've had all sorts of these. So I'm kind of curious to hear what you would do. So you have a product. Somebody uses it. They complain. They want a new product, but they don't have to return the product to get the new product. Have you seen it where people are just asking for us, for example, you know, this didn't work. I don't like it. It came damaged. Okay, here's another product. Oh, I didn't like the scent. Kind of carrying on down.
It happens. It happens for sure. I mean, we don't, we don't require any proof, evidence, return, anything from the customer. First of all, you know, generally speaking, the fulfillment cost for the return, you know, it's not worth it for us anyways. But second of all, we're trying to remove the hassle from both the customer side and from our side. Because again, if we can auto approve, that saves a lot of man hours in that process of this back and forth and, you know, all that sort of thing. So we get to save money on that. You know, but also from the customer side, consider how much better that experience is for the people who aren't taking advantage, which again is the bulk of customers, mm-hmm. right? You know, like, they're used to entering into a warranty process where they contact the company gets back and says, hey, thanks for getting in touch. We need you to prove that you deserve this warranty. And these are the things that you need to do for us to prove that. And then the customer has to go looking for, you know, the information, taking the pictures, supplying the rest, you know, receipt, you know, whatever it is. Then they have to get back, and the customer service rep has to look it over. So you've got multiple days, right? And if it happened on a Friday and now it goes over the weekend, you know, like, and most customers know at the end of that process, with a lot of the companies that they deal with, they're going to end up not getting it anyways. The company is going to be like, nah, you didn't jump through this hoop properly, or you didn't do this. And so every step in that process where it takes even just a little bit of time, the customer is always thinking as they walk through that process that it's never going to make it to the end and I'm never going to get anything. So the fact that our process takes 90 seconds for an approval means the customer doesn't even have time to think maybe this isn't going to happen. And by the time they might start thinking that, it's done and it's approved. So the process, we try to make it as easy for them as for us. But getting back to the abuse scenario, I think it's just one of those things where it's a cost. It's a cost of doing business that you just accept or you don't accept. But again, we have built our systems so that all of those checks and balances are there. So that if we see too many of these in a short period of time, or too many overall in total as a customer, or over multiple products or whatever it is, we can send that for manual review, and we can always exit that customer relationship with a refund. And I think that the key always, you know, for me is just coming back to what do the numbers look like? You know, like how many of these are resulting in that, you know, type of a problem? And the truth is, at least for us, it's been very low. And I think that, again, going back to that, you know, how are you pricing your product, right? If you're priced, you know, 30% above the market or 50% above the market, well, you still haven't left yourself a lot of breathing room, you know, in terms of absorbing those costs. You know, if on the other hand, you're charging 3 to 5 times as much as everybody else in the category, and you're marketing yourself as a premium product, you're marketing yourself to the specific customer avatar that would pay that premium price instead of just advertising to the market in general, right? Then you can command that price and you can absorb that cost. I think too often Amazon sellers are selling to a generic audience. They haven't narrowed that audience down to the specific person that would pay that premium price. And so, you know, they're diluting the market, they're diluting their brand. They don't really have a good differentiator, you know, and so they can't sell, you know, at that higher price point. And so they can't absorb those costs.
Okay. So we are at the bottom of the hour. If this is the first time you're tuning into the podcast, we have something called the Wheel of Kelsey at the top of the hour, which is a giveaway. So to enter into the giveaway, it is hashtag Wheel of Kelsey or tag two people and you'll get a second entry. And Michael, what is the giveaway today?
Sure. So the giveaway is a 60-minute free consult with myself. So if you're looking for, you know, improving the post-purchase process, you know, in terms of list building for your product, and I would clarify, it doesn't have to be a warranty. You know, like we use warranties and guarantees. I think it's an excellent way. We could have a conversation about that as to whether there's a way that you could implement that for your product. But if you're afraid of that and you'd rather go some other way, there's a lot of good ways that you can build a post-purchase process. And I highly recommend if you're not doing it, that you're building that list. We've been doing it for years. We really know what we're doing. So, you know, if you want to have that conversation and you'd like to see how you might be able to implement that and how you can do the split testing and those sort of things, I'd love to sit down with you for an hour and just talk through what your business looks like and how we could implement that for you.
Very good. Okay. So now let's talk about one of our sponsors. We're going to be talking about, and look, I got this really cool feature. I think it's going to work. If I push it up here, it blurs the heck out of me. There we go. Start, scale, exit, repeat. And this is by Colin Campbell. It's a book that's available on Amazon and in Audible or on Audible. And Colin just goes through the different sections of his success through start, scale, exit, repeat. He breaks it down into four modules by the story, the people, the money, and the systems for each of these sections. And then he has subsections. It's basically a reference book for entrepreneurs. And like I've said in the past, a lot of Amazon sellers don't consider themselves entrepreneurs when they're 100% entrepreneurs. So check this out. I know a lot of people on the podcast have purchased the book or have read the book and have thought the same way that once I read it, the way that I thought, and it was an excellent book. So check it out on Amazon. Kelsey will throw it up there and you can either buy the Kindle, buy the softback, buy the hardback, or go to Audible if you like to listen if you are a member of Audible. Okay, so let's get back to Michael. Steve's there. Okay, hashtag Wheel of Kelsey. Very good, Steve. So again, if you're interested in this, hashtag Wheel of Kelsey for the giveaway. It's going to be awesome. And as you can tell, Michael knows what he's talking about. Okay. Now I had a couple of notes I was writing when we were doing this. Some of the time I went through the ASM system back in the day. Sure. And Jason and Matt, you know, would talk about refund, give more. So it was a refund plus 20. So it could either be your product plus, let's use soap again, a bar of soap plus the refund, or a bar of soap plus another product. Do you believe right. in that as well?
I think, so in our case, I would say that we wouldn't do that, but only mm-hmm. because, well, I wouldn't say we wouldn't do that. There are certain situations where we might, but we actually have fairly few individuals, you know, who actually request a refund, because most people go through the warranty process if they have a problem. And so most refunds that are initiated are actually initiated by us because we're exiting, you know, out of the arrangement, which doesn't happen much. But but if I was selling a product where I wasn't doing it the way that we're doing it, you know, like I wasn't offering such an extreme warranty and I didn't basically approve everything, I do think that that's a good strategy, because again, it's really just taking the same thing that we're doing and just reversing it in a sense. You know, like refund plus 20, I think, is back to that essentially just say yes kind of a strategy, right? Like, it's all about making sure that you have that the best review profile that you can. I mean, reviews are currency these days. And if there's any way that you can leave a positive taste in the mouth of somebody who is requesting a refund, like they don't want your product, okay, you know, clearly they weren't happy with it, so that's fine. But if you can do something with them that you didn't have to do that leaves that positive taste in their mouth, it's just that much less likely that they're going to leave that negative review. And so, you know, I agree with it. I think it's a good strategy.
All right. Very good. There was another question here, and that was at the beginning. I made a note. You were talking about you were leveraging your list, which is fantastic. However, you mentioned snail mail. Now, with Amazon, you can't get their email or their addresses. What are you doing to get the information? Is this once they have an insert, they go over to your website, they put in the email address, and then you can start to build out to find out their emails from their address from there? How are you getting this?
So really, it's just the beauty of offering a warranty. Because if I'm offering a warranty, then that suggests the likelihood. And again, remember, customer perception, right? They bought the product, maybe many of them, because it has this extreme warranty. That means that they were willing to pay that premium price, which suggests they believe they're going to have to take advantage of that warranty at some point. Mm-hmm. Well, the only way that you can do that, you can't get a replacement if they can't ship it to you, right? So as I said earlier, about 30% of our orders result in a warranty registration, and the vast majority of those, we get an email subscription out of that. But mm-hmm. at that time of registration, we ask for not just the email address, but also their physical address. We don't require it. So they can submit that warranty registration without the address, because technically we don't need it yet. We don't need it until they file a claim. However, we do ask for it, and we just have a little notice at the top that says, you know, so that we have it on file for when you file your next, you know, warranty claim, please give us your physical mailing address. And they enter it in. We get about 90% of our registrations have the physical address along with the email address. So we have those addresses that we can utilize. And it's one of the beauties of offering a warranty, is that it's kind of built into the system that you would request a mailing address. It only makes sense. And our, you know, like I said, our experience has borne out that the vast majority of people seem to be okay with providing it, because we don't require it, and we still get a 90% response rate with that physical address.
Yeah, we've got a client who has a high-end, very good, high-quality premium knife, Damascus mm-hmm. knife. So very expensive. And he offers that lifetime warranty, so you go over. But one of the things he does, and it's an added value, and this is something that he can do for free, and he has talked to different chefs around the world. He's given them knives, and this is beyond this. This is for something else, but he's asked for recipes. So he's put together two recipe books, which are phenomenal, really beautiful recipe books. And not only do they get the lifetime warranty, but they get this recipe book and they get a 52-week meal planner. So it's just value, 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 right, which they love. But what happens with this is that they become, I wouldn't say a brand ambassador, you know, they're not, but they will participate way more than the average brand would ever get. What am I trying to say? Anyways, they'll be able to build up a more loyal customer base just by doing something like this, by the value, value, value promo proposition. And it's awesome because he does very little, yet he puts out a new knife. He's got 11 knives right now, and it's already, you know, they're already getting sales. Sales velocity is there. They can rank all based on these. He's got about 6,000 customers right now, and they're very loyal. Some I would consider brand ambassadors. They're always posting. They'll buy at a discount anything and everything that this brand puts out. And it all starts with that lifetime warranty.
Yeah, it absolutely starts there. And I would say that, you know, like, and we offer, you know, additional too. So like when they register, you know, there's a number of other benefits that they get. You know, we provide information, you know, for pool cleaning and whatnot, a few eBooks that we give them where there's a, we do a $1,000 giveaway each month, which is essentially they create an Amazon wish list for pool products. And each month we draw a winner. That's actually pretty valuable for us because number one, it does increase our response rate. But also it gives us the opportunity that we can utilize that as an incentive. So in other words, we're already doing the giveaway. We're already giving away $1,000 worth of stuff every month. But what we can do then is we can then encourage our list and say, hey, you know, provide us with UGC content and we'll give you this many extra entries in the monthly drawing, or go over and follow, you know, us on Facebook and we'll give you this many extra entries or whatever. That doesn't cost us anything, but it's incredibly valuable to the customer because now they just have more chances to win that $1,000. And the more people that we have, the more we can give away, you know, in that monthly drawing. So we could raise that amount, you know, and potentially get, you know, an even greater response rate. So I'm absolutely in favor of coupling other benefits with the warranty registration. But I would also say that the warranty itself is a big benefit and it does create some brand loyalty. But I would say that fulfillment on the warranty creates an even greater level of brand loyalty because that's the point at which you truly differentiate yourself from everybody else, because anybody can offer a warranty. The question is, how easy do you make the process to actually get a replacement or a refund? We make that process so easy that every single person, you know, like we got last year, we processed like 6,500 claims. Now, if you walk through a warranty process for any product and it took you 90 seconds to do it, you didn't have to talk to anybody. You didn't have to explain anything, provide any pictures, do anything. 90 seconds later, it says it's approved. And 3 days later, the product shows up on your doorstep. Tell me that you would not, one, absolutely leave a glowing 5-star review, but also buy every single product that that brand ever sells and tell everybody that you know about that brand. So we now have 6,500 people out there that I know all of those things are going to be true of. So, you know, just make sure that you fulfill on it, you know, and make it easy as possible. Those are going to be the brand ambassadors for sure.
Yeah. Or the people that absolutely hate your brand. And I can give you two examples. So I went out and I got my wife a Coach purse, and something happened, and you know, there was a problem with it, simple problem with the zipper, and we couldn't get it replaced. This is about 2 years later afterwards. Wouldn't repair unless we paid for it, or wouldn't replace it. You would think that they would replace it or at least do the zipper. It fell out of warranty. Okay, perfect example. The other one is I have some very expensive Samsonite bags that I travel everywhere with. And one got destroyed one day and from the airline. And so they lost it. It came back. It was destroyed. It was crushed. So try to get a warranty from Samsonite, even though it's I forget how long the warranty, I think it was a lifetime warranty. Yeah. It was impossible to the point where you go to a different company altogether and you don't look at them anymore. Like Coach, I'll never buy another Coach purse ever. Samsonite, you know, the baggage I have, I'll use, but am I ever going to go back to them? No. So
they had an opportunity to turn you into a fiercely loyal brand advocate.
Absolutely.
And instead, they turned you into the person that just said on live air on a podcast to however many thousands of people might see this, don't buy Samsonite. They're not going to stand behind the warranty.
Yeah. And by the way, just a little disclaimer, this is only my my opinion. It's in my opinion. That's it.
Yeah.
So, and I can also add, anybody listening, WestJet. Oh my God. Kels, you can post that one. I went on a rant about how WestJet was treating passengers on a plane once. But then there again, if something happens, I post it. I talk about it. You know, we're in a customer service business. And sometimes it's crazy what these services, airlines, products will do. It's crazy. But all right. So we've proven the point that if you execute, you can either create a brand loyal brand ambassador. If you don't execute and you just say you have a warranty, well, guess what? You've just turned that customer against you. So important. Just another quick question here before we get over to the questions, the listener questions. But how does Power Warranty Marketing, how do you create an unstoppable social media campaign?
Yeah, I think, you know, to be as brief as I can about it, since obviously we're kind of coming toward the end here, I think that the key would be, make sure that it's extreme, but believable, right? Because then that it's easier to advertise it and to market it. I think the extreme portion of it differentiates you from the rest of the market. And so it makes it easier to bring on, you know, influencers in the social media space who are going to be interested in, you know, maybe testing your product and doing a review and stuff. So it makes that process easier. I think that the other thing that I would say is that you want a product, the best versions of a product that will work with this is one that is really very social media friendly. So pool cleaning tools are not that, you know, we're not very social media friendly. We're not going to get a lot of virality out of that. Right. But if you happen to have a product that is pretty social media friendly, or you can come up with a way, a humorous way or something like that to make it very social media friendly, then you create a dual flywheel situation. So understand that if you sell a product that's at this high price point, right? If you sell it at that, Amazon is a difficult space to maintain rank on if you're selling at a premium price point. But if you can get some social media virality going, then you have the opportunity of really increasing your brand search and also your external traffic to Amazon. And if you can increase those two things on the Amazon platform, your rankings will rise and you'll have good sales volume there. So the combination of those two things, if you have an extreme warranty and you execute properly on it, then you can utilize that through social media to get that virality if it's the kind of product that offers that, right? And then you get that dual flywheel where they're spinning each other. And so I think that's the space where you really win, you know, execute on a really extreme but believable warranty and make sure that you're taking advantage of the virality of your product on social media.
All right. Very good. Okay. So Kels, we have a couple questions. I can't hear you.
And I think you've answered this, Michael, but what category are you in exactly, if you wouldn't
mind sharing? Yeah, I'm selling in the pool cleaning tools category. So, I mean, we've talked to others who are in other categories that do similar things to us. They seem to also, you know, experience good results, but that's our category.
Okay. And our last question is from Brian. Again, I think we might've touched on this a bit, but how do you deal with the customers that abuse the free replacements?
Yeah. Yeah. It just comes back to having that exit clause essentially, which is just simply, you know, or refund. As long as your warranty is replacement or 100% refund at your discretion, then truthfully, it provides an exit for both of you, right? Then the customer can offer, you know, can ask for a refund whenever they want. They can exit the relationship, but you also can offer that can refund the order whenever you want and exit that relationship. You know, you lost money on them, but at least you stop losing money because you can exit with that refund.
All right. Very good. Okay, so just before we get over to the wheel, if you're interested in today's giveaway, hashtag Wheel of Kelsey or tag two people, you'll get a second entry, and we will be spinning the wheel in about a minute. So get it in if you'd like to join in today. Okay, today we're going to have a live read for our sponsor. Let me just see here. Here we go. It's about Seller Basics. Hey, Amazon sellers, ever faced account suspensions, ASIN hiccups, or IP headaches? Introducing Seller Basics, your Amazon accounts guardian, with just $99 a month, or with code NORM, $89 a month. Seller Basics offers a dedicated team to shield your business from these challenges. Plus, this membership offers free legal consultations from seasoned e-commerce attorneys. No long-term contracts, and you can cancel with just a month's notice. View Seller Basics as your Amazon accounts health plan and check out Seller Basics at sellerbasics.com. Now, here comes the disclaimer. Seller Basics isn't an insurer or law firm. Consultations come from independent firms. Results may vary and membership is needed before events leading to claims, and terms apply. All right, now let's head over to the wheel.
It's time for the Wheel of Kelsey.
All right, here we go.
Okay, so we're going to shuffle these up and let's see who today's winner is. Okay, if you are the winner, please email me, kate@lunchwithnorm.com, and it is Pyro.
All right, Pyro, congrats. Okay, oh, Michael's back. Okay, all right, so there you go, Pyro. You get a free consult with Michael. Michael, thank you so much for coming on. I know at the beginning we had some technical issues, but really appreciate coming on and just getting people to understand how you can use your warranty to really build up a more a loyal and a probably I would call a brand ambassador if you do it right.
Absolutely. Yep. I think too few brands are doing it. It won't work for every brand, but too few are using it. I think most brands could and should. Just a matter of thinking it through.
So how do people get a hold of you or listen to your podcast?
Sure, absolutely. So you can catch me over on LinkedIn. You can search for Michael Kaufman, or you can search for our pool tools brand, ProTuff Products, ProTuff Products. Also, if you want to head over to BrandFortressHQ.com, that would be our consulting program. And BrandFortressHQ Podcast is the podcast that was started not too long ago, but we're doing relatively well and we're enjoying ourselves. So hopefully you can catch us over there.
All right. Fantastic. All right, Michael, thank you for coming on today. Love to have you back one of these days. Want more great information? Don't forget to subscribe by clicking here. Also, if you want to check out our latest podcast, click over here. Lunch with Noah.